Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off by talking about what we heard out of Powell's mouth on that 60-minute interview just over the weekend, where it seems like Powell still very much in that dovish hold pattern, I guess we could say. But you mentioned to me off mic, he seems to be coming even more political, something that it seems like all of the Fed heads get sucked into during their term. Why do you say this, and what do you think the impacts are?
Well, I'll tell you, Corey, Fed heads, by and large, have never been sucked into what he put himself into Sunday night. There's been a lot of other commentary on this that I'm sure at least some of our listeners have listened to or read since Sunday night. But look, we had, when Jerome Powell first came out of job, a guy who looked like he wasn't going to violently take the punch bowl away, but he was going to at least spike it less than what had been done. And I've chronicled all of that along the way, including my recent montage of things, A Year in the Life of Jay Powell, that's on my website. For those that didn't see it, you'll get a big kick out of it and maybe learn something. And what you'll learn, if you didn't notice already, is that whereas it took Paul Volcker once upon a time about 3 years to turn from an uber hawk into a dove and enable the explosion in federal debt and asset bubbles and everything that we've had in the last generation, it only took Powell 11 months and some days, technically just barely shy of a year, to make that same transition. But what he did Sunday night went beyond that, and it puts the Fed in an even bigger predicament than beyond what I said recently, as far as the Fed having removed itself farther from any possibility of restarting rate hikes down the road if it sees fit to do so. They've added to that now by completely turning themselves over to popular opinion, to the establishment, or as the president likes to call it, fake news media. And now you're never going to hear the end of anything they do. It was bad enough before, but now it's going to be worse. So we've gone, this is just the next step of a central bank, which, as its proponents once said, you'll hardly ever know they exist. They're going to be an apolitical entity that behind the scenes will make sure that you have at least some decorum and some order and some reasonable setting of interest rates and broad policy behind the scenes. But otherwise, everything else in the banking system and markets and whatnot is still going to be all about price discovery, still all about markets, still all about innovation, still all about what consumers want or don't want. And now they've just turned themselves even more into where everything starts and stops. It's a stupid thing to have done. Maybe they have no choice but to do that and are that sensitive to things. But, you know, among the consequences, and I'll be writing quite a bit about this in the coming days, Corey, among the consequences is that the Fed arguably just turned itself into an enemy of the president, whether they intended to do this or not, as we go into the 2020 election season. Because Powell the other night, in his performance, basically gave the green light. He didn't maybe intend to do this, but this is what he did. He gave the green light to the AOCs of the world, to the Tobin tax proponents of the world, and all these other Democrat politicians who are going to be trotting out ever more soak the rich, ever more attack Wall Street kinds of things. And the Fed should have stayed out of this, but they didn't. And so they've made themselves that much more susceptible as far as the markets are concerned this week. The way it's been universally taken is that the Fed has already showed that they will not only blink, but that they'll soil themselves and jump at whatever popular opinion wants from them. So that's why the stock market, when it was starting to break again, justifiably so last week, has roared right back to that 2820 level on the S&P 500 today. While at the same time, though it shouldn't be happening, arguably, interest rates are not moving higher whatsoever. Those things shouldn't be coexisting, but they are. So bottom line is, Jerome Powell the other night showed he's even more political perhaps, than a lot of people, myself included, thought that he was. And he's also given cause for these traders who are chasing this rally higher to believe that, you know, we got Powell where we want him. He's capitulated. And just like there was a Bernanke put and a Yellen put, there's a Powell put after all.
Yeah, that really is one of the big takeaways from just the market reaction, too, is this Powell put seems very much on the table. But as you said, we're seeing the U.S. markets rise as well as treasuries. Yields are still staying very low. Is that still at least showing you that investors are worried they're spreading out their money a little bit better than they have in the past?
I think it's a variety of things, Corey. The problem is, and this didn't start with Powell, even Greenspan way back when he was screwing up the world, talked about the conundrum of long-term interest rates refusing to move up very much and the yield curve with it, despite reasons why it arguably should have. I mean, this is a phenomenon of the Fed's own making, and it's not going away. You know, they're the architect of this, even if they don't want to admit it. But you've got foreign influences. You've got the lingering effect still of quantitative easing, even though the Fed is technically unwinding its balance sheet out the back door. It's negating that. So you've still got enough demand for treasuries because of geopolitical worries, because of the strength of the dollar relative to everything else, that's keeping a bid in treasuries. But yes, a part of it is that, you know, and this happens constantly, Corey, that we're always asking the question, is the bond market right or the stock market right? Because if the stock market was correct in this rally and already looking past an earnings recession and other things that are only starting to unfold to them being over with by the end of the year and wanting to move up, then yield should be moving higher as well. If you really believe inflation is going to moderate upward a little bit and the economy is going to get over this little bit of a soft patch that it's got right now. But, you know, even though we're constantly questioning, you know, which of these is right, it seems like for a while, and especially now if they've got this renewed notion in their heads that the Fed stands ready to, like I quipped last week, you know, ditch the helicopters and break out the cargo planes, and maybe after Powell's next 60 Minutes interview, maybe he'll go on the Tonight Show still, or one of those late night TV shows. Who the hell knows? But that's why all of this stuff is bubbling up. And it's why even the metals are rallying on a day that was strong for stocks, precious metals included. So what the hell, if the Fed's going to keep printing money and if the Fed is so scared of public opinion that this nitwit gets on 60 Minutes and takes what little semblance of independence is gone, then why not buy everything that's not nailed down?
Well, that is kind of the interesting thing, though, is that the money just isn't going strictly on into risk on assets. And you look at, as you said, the precious metals also heading higher. What about that U.S. dollar reaction, though? The U.S. dollar was, again, looking like it was going to break out. It had just a very brief higher level that it reached a couple days ago, but it has kind of rolled over. And again, you can argue that that was kind of a false breakout. Is that also because of this Powell put?
That's a part of it too, also, for sure. The Fed, and I've said this for quite a few days now, that the Fed doesn't want to have to worry about how to change policy to respond to the U.S. dollar index if it broke higher and started trashing everything again. Maybe that was also part of his strategy to go on 60 Minutes and make sure that the dollar peaked again before it broke higher. Who the heck knows? But, very plainly, the Fed does not want any further appreciation in the U.S. dollar. The president certainly doesn't want it. Few other people do. And, the only thing that's going to bring it about is if you had some major accident in the markets, then they can't stop a rise in the dollar, even if they wanted to. So, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, lurking in the back of Powell's mind was, not only the stock market starting to correct a little bit more again last week, but the dollar also threatening to break higher.
Now, if we do just look at these U.S. equity markets and that intraday break higher that we saw today, is this Powell put in your eyes, which still is really only talk, but he has been talking more and more dovish with every, it seems like, interview he's gone on, is that enough to bring us back to all-time highs?
If we get a breakout above that 2820 level on the S&P 500, Corey, with any halfway decent volume increase, then it won't matter what the underlying fundamentals are, because the program traders, the algorithms, money managers will all get stampeded into chasing the rally higher if they don't lose their job. The humans that are making those decisions, at least apart from the computer program. So it certainly would. I won't trust it. I haven't trusted this rally, of course, for the last 200 points on the S&P 500. So what do I know anyway? But it is possible if you get a break higher. There shouldn't be. It is not justified by the slowdown in the global economy and the lack of any meaningful substance on trade. The Brexit thing maybe won't blow up on everybody yet, as a lot of people have suspected. Everybody involved is going to kick the can down the road at the end. There won't be a hard Brexit come the end of March like some have feared. And so that won't be an issue. But you've still got the U.S.-China thing. You've still got so much else going on. And again, as I've said a million times, the bigger picture under all of that being a global economy that got fat and happy and overstretched anew because of quantitative easing and ZERP and NERP of the last decade. And whatever happens, just doesn't have that much more room to grow that much more, whatever these banks do.
All right, we're going to leave it at that, Chris, but I think we both see that the central banks around the world are going to try to do whatever they can to keep this ball rolling. The question is, can they keep it rolling? And, well, just for how long they can keep it rolling. So far, even with the global slowdown, the central banks are trying to keep it going, but you do see the cracks in the economies. However, this U.S. market, man, it can still move on simply talk from central bank president like Jerome Powell. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today, and have a great rest of your day.
You too.